Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to McGurk's and Horsham for the Birds Town Hall 2019 on the Marks and Reese portion of the program. Johnny Marks, Ike Reese, and Ike's wearing a belt. What is that?
Well, I'm just wearing my championship belt from the last great Birds debate.
And you retired that? That was the last one?
Yeah, that was the last one, and I walked out unanimous champion.
Well, there you go. You retired it.
I did.
All right. So,
what's up there, Johnny Marks?
We will have a lot of news. We'll get you updated with everything in just 1 second. We have to introduce our 2 o'clock panel. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie have been here for hours, so you know them. Say hi to John and Joe again. There you go.
Hello, guys.
Hey,
but,
John.
Hey, joining us right now, Ike, is the voice of the Eagles for a long time, and it's great to have Mr. Merrill Reese with us. Merrill!
Hi. It really is great to be here at McGurk's. This is such a great place.
Look at this place. I mean, last year we were coming off the Super Bowl, Merrill, and you expected a big crowd. Today, round of applause, everybody coming out here today. Now, it's a different Birdstown Hall this year, Joe DeCamera, because last year we were still kind of reveling and celebrating the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we had our heads up in the clouds and everything was great. This year there's actually there's free agency. The tampering period started today. So it looks like the first thing that looks like it's definitely happening is Malik Jackson. And Ike, I'll start with you here.
Yeah.
Malik Jackson, defensive tackle, looks like 3 years, $30 million. The question has been answered. Michael Bennett to the Patriots. It looks like Malik Jackson will at least be in part the replacement. What do you think?
Well, I mean, listen, I like the move. They needed to get somebody in there. Bennett wasn't necessarily a D tackle, although he moved inside on third down. But they certainly, looks like they're going to let Tim Jernigan move on. They needed somebody to go in there and be able to play next to Fletcher Cox. When you think about one of the biggest difference from this year's team and last year's team, the Super Bowl team, that is the depth along that defensive line. And they could go 8 to 10 deep the year they won the Super Bowl. And this past year, I think we may have had 6 D linemen that you could rely on every week. And that is taxing. Fletcher had to play way too many snaps this year, whereas last year when he didn't have to play as many snaps, you saw how fresh he was down the stretch. And that was key because after Carson got injured, that defensive line, along with the offensive line, helped lead that charge in the playoffs into the Super Bowl.
Merrill, your thoughts early, if people were wondering what Howie was going to do, if he was going to be aggressive, if he was going to sit back, if he was going to try to maybe rebuild a little bit, the last 72 hours or so tells you what Howie's trying to do for 2019.
Well, he's always aggressive. He always wants to make this a better football team. And I think Malik Jackson does that right away. Timmy Jernigan did a great job 2 years ago, but last year he was coming off of back surgery. He was never really healthy, and it was time to move on.
John Ritchie, surprised that at Malik Jackson, listen, he had 3.5 sacks last year, still a good player, down a little bit last year, but that's serious coin for a guy on the defensive line.
He's worth every penny, if you ask me. Last year, he only played in 10 games with some of the injuries that he was dealing with. Sacks are difficult to gauge when you're talking about a D-tackle, an interior lineman. This guy can get after the passer for a D-tackle, which is rare, and he is absolutely going to make a difference in there by his very presence. Helping out Fletcher Cox.
Joe DeCamera, you like the move?
I do. I mean, listen, this guy's been a really good player in the league. That's why he got paid close to $100 million a few years ago. Obviously, didn't make all that, but made a good chunk of money for 3 years in Jacksonville. Had to do something. Obviously, with Jernigan not being brought back at all, you know, initially on his contract, but really at all. Bennett moved on from. Here's what I really like about it, John. And this is something I've been pounding for a couple years now as a mantra. I believe in it. Andy Reid had success with it, and the Super Bowl team had success with it, building on the lines. And, you know, the bottom line is it's real nice to talk flashy players, and it's fun to talk Le'Veon Bells and all that stuff. That's good, fun stuff. But at the end of the day, man, like this sport, it's a meat and potatoes league of winning your battle up front, and that'll help you win the play. And if you win enough plays, you win the game. Malik Jackson helps you win plays, which helps you win games. I think it's a really good move.
Now, going to the other side of the line, Ike, we've talked about this for weeks, even months now, and I don't think we were surprised that Jason Peters was coming back. Maybe a bit of a surprise. It's a one-year. He redid his contract. Did they ask him? Did Howie directly ask him to redo it, or did they have somebody else? But anyway, it sounds like it's $5.5 million, and then there's some incentives. It probably says, hey, if you play, you can earn the money that you were scheduled to earn next year.
Yeah, and listen, they got him back, and they obviously know what Jason Peters means to the organization. Let's hope he can stay out there for 16 games, or you certainly had better have a capable backup out there, and that means Big V needs to get back to playing the way he did when he filled in for Jason and was able to be that left tackle when they went to the Super Bowl. And then Jordan Mailata, we all are interested in seeing how far he's grown from his first year to next year. I don't know if he's ready to be thrown out there to protect Carson's backside just yet. I know there are a lot of fans in the Jordan Mailata fan club, but I'm not sure I'm ready to have him go out there to protect my quarterback's blind side.
Yeah, I agree. Merrill?
Not without having played any games yet.
Well, and by the way, I hope Jordan Mailata is great. I didn't see him play because he didn't, right? So I don't know how you can say that he's good enough to start right now. Merrill, Jason Peters coming back. Maybe now he ends his career as an Eagle and goes into the Hall of Fame. I actually thought he played pretty well last year. The availability was a problem finishing games, but I like the move.
But the availability is a big thing, and there's the old cliche, and I've heard it all day, that durability is as important as ability. The healthy Jordan Peters is absolutely impenetrable. He's a great, great player. But as John pointed out, and I think earlier Ross pointed out, he was out of a lot of games, even the New Orleans game.
11. 11 games out of 18.
And he didn't make it through the first half of the Saints game.
Yeah.
So that becomes a consideration. However, he is an insurance policy at least until they're comfortable with Mailata.
Yeah, and I anticipate they'll be comfortable with Mailata a lot sooner than people think.
Well, John, I think $5.5 million for Jason Peters is a great number for the Birds. You have the chance of the upside if he can play and stay healthy. It's not a monumental financial risk if he can't. I think it's a win by Howie Roseman to bring him back at that dollar.
I agree, and if you're a better team with Jordan Peters now, or with Jason Peters, but you have to make sure that you're ready for next year, and you can do that this year by deciding or figuring out what you're going to do in the event that Jason Peters isn't available for you. All right, but the splashiest move of the day could be DeSean Jackson coming back to the Eagles. Now, it's not set, and I think there's some more things that need to be done, but it seems like it's trending that way, Ike, and it's something that we were discussing and we like. But I'm listening this morning, and I have Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie giving the no to Sean Jackson not back to the Eagles. And I'm just curious, how the hell you can say that? What's your backup plan at wide receiver if it's not DeSean Jackson?
There are a lot of other players besides DeSean Jackson available to play wide receiver
on
our roster in particular.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
hold on. I got a pencil. Let me write this down. What do you got?
Matt Collins. We don't know what his health looks like. Matt Collins was supposed to be the speed guy, and he had the hernia surgery core muscle surgery last offseason, and then had a setback where I guess he had to get another surgery. So he didn't play, and we've forgotten about him suddenly.
I like his potential, sure.
And we don't know where he stands.
All right.
And again, we don't know that this deal with DeSean is happening either. But then Shelton Gibson is a speed guy who is on our roster. And we seem to have forgotten about him as well. The guy that I am really interested in, and he's not a speed guy, but a receiver, Braxton Miller, who did a lot of scout team stuff for the team last year. Incredible athlete, learning the position because he played quarterback in college. And we still have Nelson Agholor, who Doug said was a speed guy.
Which we'll talk about on the other side because the Eagles have a decision to make with Nelson Agholor. We'll check in with the latest from Elliott Truett Parks over at our IKEA breaking news desk. 94 WIP breaking news powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. We'll do that coming up next. It's the Birds Town Hall, McGurk's and Horsham, the Marks and Reese portion of it. We're back right after this. Don't go anywhere. Birds Town Hall, Marks and Reese, McGurk's in Horsham. We will get the latest from Elliott Shore Parks coming up in just 1 second over at our IKEA free agency desk. And it's an actual IKEA desk. Did you check it out?
How about that?
Only it's the best, man.
It's nice.
Only the
you
best.
Put that up, Elliott.
Oh, I could never together? Put this together. No, I'm good.
Me neither. Mike?
No.
Could you do it?
No.
Merrill, could you put together the IKEA desk over there?
Yeah, that was me.
All right, we have Merrill Reese. We have the camera. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie will check back in with them in a second. But let's go to Elliott over at the IKEA free agency desk with the latest. Tampering has begun officially, Elliott.
Yeah, Howie's season has begun. It's only been 2 hours, and the Eagles have already been really active. Obviously, you guys talked about Malik Jackson, 3 years, $30 million. So some decent money, but he's a really good player. So Howie strikes early on him. Then, of course, the big news is the potential DeSean Jackson reunion. He has not been released by the Buccaneers yet. DeSean kind of said goodbye to the Bucs on Instagram, but he's still a member of the Buccaneers as of right now. But if he is released or traded, Chris Mortensen of ESPN believes that a reunion is going to happen. Now, again, a lot of things have to happen before then, but it seems like for the first time in years when he's been trying to get back here, it might actually be happening today.
Elliott, wasn't it you who wrote the big story
when
DeSean Jackson exited about all of his indiscretions and all of the problems? What has changed dramatically in these 4 years?
For me or DeSean?
Not for you. Well, I know a lot has changed with you, but from the stance you took at that point,
yeah.
How did all of this go away? And now we're talking about an entirely different situation.
That's the big question. And, I mean, you would have to think that the Eagles are comfortable with bringing him back. I mean, you brought up my story, but it wasn't just me. A lot of people at that time wrote about some issues he had with the Eagles. He was suspended by Andy Reid. He was, you know, skipping practices. So he had some issues the first time with the Eagles. Now, that being said, he's still a fantastic player. Leads the league last season, yards per catch. So the Eagles would have to be comfortable bringing him back in the locker room if this is something they do. It's been, I think, 5 years. He's an older player. Ike touched on it recently about how he's probably matured. But that is obviously the big question of bringing him back.
Elliott, Jason Peters, he was already on a contract. So when you reported when it came out that he signed a one-year contract, this is obviously a different contract. What are the details?
Yeah, so one-year deal for 2019, which ends the speculation he might not be back. His cap hit was going to be $10.3 million. Reports are indicating that this one has $5.5 million guaranteed with incentives. So I would guess that the cap hit is going to be $5.5 million, maybe a little higher. And he'll have the chance to earn more if he plays. And that's really a win-win for both because when he played last year, he was a lot better than people give him credit for. The issue is just him staying on the field.
Oh, there you have it. All right, let us know if anything happens or when it happens. Elliott, thank you very much. Ike DeSean Jackson. I look online here, and our Twitter poll question of the day from Mark's Jewelers, looking for that engagement ring, mark-jewelers.com, right up here on Route 309 in Montgomeryville. Most people saying they do not want DeSean Jackson back. It's going to cost in the neighborhood of $10 million a year. Wise move by the Eagles to bring him back?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's a wise move. They certainly would be addressing a need in the offense. Right? We all feel like they need someone that can stretch the field, open up the offense for them. I know people, they still look at DeSean as the old DeSean. And so I get why there is some, you know, some reluctance there to want to bring that back into the fold. I don't think the Eagles would be doing that if they thought that was an issue. The money factor, again, I don't worry about the money. If Howie finds a way to bring a guy here at a certain price tag, he must feel comfortable with the price tag. It certainly isn't going to cause them to cut a player that they weren't necessarily already going to cut. So I trust this front office when it comes to personnel moves, when it comes to contracts. But if you're just talking about how he helps you on the field and whether or not it hurts you in your locker room, I don't have the same concerns for that. I just don't. I know DeSean, when he was here earlier, he has diva in him, right? And we know all these receivers have diva in them. But is it the diva level that's going to tear your team apart? I don't believe it's that. I don't. Is he going to do his little dances? Does he want the football? Yes. Yes. Guess what? He's also going to open up this offense for the rest of these guys.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think Ike brought up a number of good points, but one in particular. So, John, you heard me earlier. I was not on the Bring Deshaun train back, and got to find out where the finances shake out on this if it happens. The point Ike made that I love, though, is Howie making the move. You know, listen, Howie's not infallible. He's made mistakes before. He'll make mistakes again in the future. There's no question about that. But I do think he has earned, and this is really rare in Philadelphia sports, he has earned a lot of benefit of the doubt. I think he's earned it. And if Howie feels that Deshaun's in the right frame of mind to come back, I as an Eagles fan, I have a lot more trust in that, in Howie, than I would in many other GMs in many other instances in Philadelphia sports history. I think Howie has earned that.
John, my favorite moment, people ask me about as a broadcaster, my favorite moment that I've ever called. Well, obviously, it was February 4th of a year ago when the Super Bowl ended. That was the moment to be able to say that the Eagles were Super Bowl champions. But other than that, my favorite moment occurred on December 10th, 2010, to December 19th, 2010. And that was when Deshaun Jackson looked up at the Meadowlands, muffed the punt, picked it up, got a big block from Jason Avant, and then had that walk-off grand slam to beat the Giants at the Meadowlands. That was my favorite moment. But that was, and that was a great, great thing, and he did some incredible things on the field. But I will tell you this, if he comes back, it's very exciting, and he can be productive. I only hope that that does not signal that they're about to move on from Nelson Aguilar, who I think has great days ahead, and my partner in the broadcast booth, Mike Quick, is as good an assessor of wide receiver talent as anybody I've ever met, and he believes that Nelson Aguilar is the most talented receiver on this team.
Well, John Ritchie?
They're different. Yeah, I don't think it would mean that they're moving on from Nelson. I think some of, well...
You think they can have both?
Yeah, I mean, Nelson is going to be the slot
guy. He's going to be the slot guy, yeah.
And Deshaun would be the X on the outside and be the speed guy. And he can still do what... and make plays downfield. We have guys on this roster who can run really fast. You know, Shelton Gibson, Mac Hollins. But it's rare that a guy can do what Deshaun does, which is actually have enough body control to find that ball while it's in the air and make plays
on it. But why can't Nelson be the X or the Z?
He's not very, he's not as good. He's not as good out there. I mean, he's found more of a home in the slot. He's lined up against the third cornerback when he's in the slot. His skills are not outside receiver worthy at this stage of his career.
And I'll say this, Merrill, last year in those first 10 or so games, before they kind of got clicking, when they really needed him to step up, especially outside, he wasn't very good at it. And
I don't know if he wasn't very good at it or because of the entire situation, Carson didn't go to him enough. And I know that he was open a good deal of the time.
Yeah, well, here's another thing. Because
I just don't think he's an outside receiver.
I agree with that.
I think he has, and I agree with Q, he has the ability, meaning that there is the ability to be an X receiver there, but he's not an X receiver. He has problems getting off the line of scrimmage. He struggles with bump and run coverage. Like, if they felt he could go outside and do it, he would do it.
Especially like last year when they were playing initially. My God, I can't even remember some of the names. Who were those? I mean, they had a cast of characters. I'm like,
Kamar Akins.
That guy played a ton.
DeAndre Carter.
Like, who are these guys? And here's one other thing to throw in to the equation. Because, listen, if I'm the Eagles, my objective is to sign Aguilar long term, to bring his cap number down so he's not in a $10 million this year, bring him down to, you know, $4 million, $5 million, whatever it would be on a new contract, the whole deal. But the one thing I will say, of all the calls John and I have gotten over the last couple of months since the season ended, one of the ones, it was so unexpected. that stood out to me as an idea. I hadn't even considered it. Caller said, hold on, guys. He said, would you rather have Aguilar at $10 million or Jordan Matthews for like $1.5 million? And I thought, well, I hadn't considered it, but I thought, you know, there is something to be said. And I'm not like a huge Jordan Matthews guy, but I mean, if you said to me I can get Jordan Matthews on like a veteran's minimum of $2 million or $1.5 million, whatever the heck it is, and have $8 million to give to someone else, another pass rusher, a running back.
Running back, yeah.
It could be Mark Ingram. Like, would I rather have Mark Ingram and Jordan Matthews in the slot or just Nelson Aguilar? I mean, I'll take
Mark Ingram and Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, I'd like that.
100 out of 100 right? times.
But when people ask me to list the priorities for this football team in the offseason, wide receiver wouldn't have been one of them.
Huh.
Yeah, it's on the list.
Yeah, it's on my list.
It's on my list. I'm with you, Merrill. It's lower on my list. Yeah, I have it below offensive line.
It's not up there with defensive line. It's not right up there with
totally
secondary.
I have O-line, D-line, running back.
Running back is way up there.
And probably cornerback, all above wide receiver.
Wow. I mean, listen.
Really?
And it, yeah. Merrill Reese, Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. With Marks and Reese.
Am I in a different league?
Right, right. See,
they throw the ball in this league, don't they?
You took the words out of my mouth. Now, Merrill, they won the Super Bowl without having the elite wide receivers that you see maybe some other teams have. I get that.
But you also have Ertz. But, doesn't mean you
don't want him. Wait, don't you consider Alshon Jeffrey an elite wide receiver?
No.
No.
Boy, I do.
I think he's
good. I think he makes great plays. I mean, the things he can do vertically, the things he does going up in the air. Look, we all talk about the thing that got away in the Saints game. But Alshon Jeffrey, just look at the things he did against the Rams. He won that game out in Los Angeles. They couldn't stop him. Alshon Jeffrey, in my opinion, is an elite receiver. I'm sorry if you disagree. Yeah.
And
I think he's special.
And just another component to this. Look, you want the speed guy, there's no question. I want the Eagles to have all of these aspects, right? But, I mean, you go back 10 years ago, and New England reinvents their offense like every 2 years. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they reinvent their offense every week, right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, 10 years ago, the success they were having with Gronk and Hernandez was phenomenal. Now, I'm not saying Ertz and Goddard or Gronk and Hernandez, but, I mean, as Dallas Goedert takes the next step in his development in year two, and I'm going to want to get him on the field more, and I sure as heck want Zach Ertz out there pretty much every play. You know, there's a lot you can do with two pass-catching tight ends to go with Alshon already, to go with whoever will be the other one or two wide receivers that might not have to be $10 million players but can contribute. You can build an offense that way.
Joe, there's no better tandem of tight ends in the league, of pass-catching tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, so my point is, like, let's not – when you talk about wide receiver being a need, and yes, I want them to have someone else, but I'm not going to prioritize all of that when I feel I already have a pretty good passing attack, as long as Carson Wentz sees them and throws them the ball accurately.
But here's the thing.
What I just did right there.
No, and I'm with you on that. That's why you need a DeSean Jackson, and that's why the speed guy is important, because Carson is reluctant to throw to guys who aren't wide open. Alshon Jeffrey, he and Carson need to get back to where they were the first year they played, where Carson has trust to throw a 50-50 ball up there.
That's on Carson.
Well, that's fine.
That's on Carson.
That's fine. The point is that when you look at the Super Bowl winning team, the speed element was a part of the offense.
I agree.
You know what else was there? That allowed Nelson Aguilar to have his best year as a player because he got to play in the slot. He got to play against the third best receiver. It was too often that we watched this team, and I don't care if it was Carson or Nick in there. They struggled to score. Did you watch the playoffs? Did you see the 15 points we scored in Chicago? Did you see the 14 we scored in the first quarter in New Orleans and couldn't score again? So, like, the offense struggled, man, in the passing game. Unless they were going up against a bad secondary like the Houston Texans, where everybody got injured in the game, and then you're out there playing against fourth and fifth stringers, this offense struggled to be explosive all year long. And not having that speed element is a big reason why.
But you know what, Ike, as much as I respect your opinions, and I really do, and I think you guys do a great job in the afternoon, and I think that Joe and John do a great job in the midday, I really respect your opinions. But you look at this year's Super Bowl champion, And where was their explosive speed? Their great receivers were Julian Edelman, who's a little slot guy who wiggles, and he's quick, but he's not a burner, and Gronk. Those were the go-to receivers.
But that's a different offense. That's an offense that works for New England. Do I want what Kansas City has?
Well, of course.
That's what I'm saying. So that offense works with a 42-year-old, 41-year-old quarterback who can't throw the ball deep. When you got a Bronco like Carson Wentz who can throw the ball deep, you want to open up the offense. That's what the offense looked like in 2017. It was an explosive offense. It's not a dink and dunk offense. They want to put the ball down the field. They want to stretch the ball down the field. Everybody can't win like New England. Like New England, that's their way to win. Nobody else in the league is trying to emulate what New England does from an offensive philosophy where you dink and dunk the ball down the field.
Maybe they should.
It's a good point, but we need Tom Brady.
But and you would need – see, that's where I think Nelson is good in the slot, but he's also not the high-volume catch guy like an Edelman is. He's kind of a bigger play slot guy where I think that he's more effective if he is your third-best wide receiver on the team.
Well, because a lot of those balls go to Ertz.
Right, yeah, he's your high volume guy. You're right. All right, let's move on to running back.
You're a running back, too. Oh, there we go. Good job.
Let's move on to running back. John Ritchie, being a member of the backfield in your career.
Well, I'm not called a running back?
No, you're a dinosaur, but everybody respects you for it. So you have Le'Veon Bell with the moves the Eagles have made. I guess it's still a shot, but it seems like less and less a possibility.
Yeah.
But you do have some other guys like a Mark Ingram, like a Tevin Coleman, and then you have some other tier guys. What would you do? What do you think Howie's going to do?
I would love to see Mark Ingram. First of all, Le'Veon Bell was the guy I was holding room for in the back of my mind with this whole cap thing. And then Dave Spadaro said, there's no way that's ever happening.
Yeah, thanks,
my
Dave.
Hopes were
thanks,
dashed. I mean, when he says that, yeah, I kind of feel like he might know a lot more than I do. So, yeah, no Le'Veon.
He was dropping bombs today.
It really was. But, no, I think Le'Veon will probably end up with the Jets or the Raiders because they will have the most money to pay him. And we could potentially get a guy like Mark Ingram for $6 to $8 million, I would guess, which would be an early down back, and you would hope that Corey Clement coming back from his injury could be a later down back, assuming you don't bring Darren Sproles back. We have been linked to possibly trading for Duke Johnson. Now, Duke Johnson's contract is pretty hefty for what he is.
Signed that deal last year, didn't he?
Yeah, they re-upped him. He's a guy who, you know, 4 years in the league, he's had over 500 receiving yards three of the 4 years. So shiftier, smaller back who can also run between the tackles. But like a Darren Sproles, we would end up having to pay him $5-6 million a year. So I like Tevin Coleman better than I like Duke Johnson because I feel like he can do it all
better player.
A little bit better than Duke Johnson can. So I would say Mark Ingram or Tevin Coleman if we're going to go the free agent route.
You know, I think that Howie and his staff have done an amazing job, and the coaching staff is great. But last year, the move that I was very upset about was allowing LeGarrette Blount to get away. LeGarrette Blount was a major factor in this team's Super Bowl championship.
Yeah, he sure was.
I don't think they'll bring him back, but I think Ingram can give you some of those tough yards.
Yeah, I agree. Joe DeCamera.
He absolutely can.
Would you go out and sign one of the top guys on the market? There's a secondary market, like with LeGarrette Blount a couple years ago, where you could get great value, and then you could draft somebody. Here's the one thing I know. I need to solidify this position, at least for next year. If you're going to draft the guy for the future, fine. But I can't be worried about who's carrying the ball, who your starting back is next year.
I'd love to have Ingram. I think he's a very good player. I think there's a terrific fit for him. If you cannot get Mark Ingram, obviously you got to get someone. You don't have enough in-house. So it's going to be someone on the secondary market. I mean, it just is. They got to get someone, and they don't have enough. I'm not opposed to Sproles, but again, that's a situational player. Clement's injury and really ineffectiveness last year clouds it dramatically because this would have been so easy to just say, man, Corey Clement entering year three, saw what he gave me in the Super Bowl year, saw what he gave me last year when he showed me even more, but that flew out the window. So they got to get someone. They have to get someone, and if they enter the draft without that person, which is possible, like they did with the Blount year, signing Blount late, I think it was around May or June, but you run a real risk because if that market dries up or you don't get a guy in the draft or you got to reach in the draft, now you're in trouble. I expect that they will walk away from free agency with somebody, but it might not be the full complement of all the pieces.
Ike, do you think that Howie strikes early with a running back? Maybe he waits and sees what happens with the market. There's some guys that are undervalued, and he tries to get a little bit of a bargain or a good value.
Yeah, see, just when I started to let Elliott, you know, and you get my juices going with Le'Veon, you know, Spuds comes in here and just pours water over everything. So now I don't think Le'Veon is a possibility.
Brutal.
So now I would expect Howie to wait till the secondary market hits, right? Because if you're not going to – Mark Ingram, 29 years old. I'm wondering, will the Eagles give Mark Ingram the best offer out there? I just don't think that's going to be a case for a 29-year-old running back.
How about if they don't and instead use a second-round draft choice to pick somebody like Benny Snell from Kentucky?
Yeah.
A big, powerful, pile-moving back.
I like both, Merrill. I think they need to sign somebody and draft somebody.
Yeah, with the running back situation, it's been a while since we hit on one. I mean, we're talking about what, Shady?
Probably, yeah.
Since we hit on a running back. And will the Eagles take one early? It's just something about them with the running back position. I don't know if they really feel like they need to take a running back.
But, like, just real quick.
We went through a running back draft where it was like 15 deep.
They picked the wrong one.
Yeah. Wait, but Shady or Danelle Pumphrey, that's pretty close, right?
No.
But to your point, for everybody that says, hey, listen,
Pumphrey's still on this team, guys.
He is. Well, that's going to be exposed.
Right. To the people that say you can draft a running back further down the draft, I don't disagree. The Eagles just haven't been able to do that. So to say that, then they got to finally do it.
But, you know, John, they did a pretty good job with an undrafted free agent by the name of Corey Clement.
Oh, yeah.
And still, you have to give room for Josh Adams to develop because he has some power and talent. We'll see. I mean, he was only a rookie last year, and he came here hurt where he couldn't even work out during the preseason.
Yeah, and one other thing I'd add, and I'm a pretty big believer that Howie's a student of history, kind of studying models of how to win or make sure you don't lose. There's not great history in the salary cap era of premier running backs winning Super Bowls. There's just not. And, you know, I mean, my God, all these New England teams and a whole bunch of others, including the Eagles 2 years ago, with backs not making a ton of money, not making the Pro Bowl, and winning the Super Bowl. And I am certain that Howie Roseman has that in his mind as he game plans how to do this.
All right, we're coming back. Birdstown Hall, live at McGurk's in Horsham. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Another segment with the great Merrill Reese and Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. You want to get in on the phone lines at 888-729-9494. Coming back, we'll get the latest from Elliott Shore Parks over at our IKEA free agency desk. It's Marks and Reese. Don't go anywhere. Yes, we are back at McGurk's right there on Horsham Road in Horsham, the Birds Town Hall with Marks and Reese, with Merrill Reese, and with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. So, Merrill, earlier you had said your second favorite call that you had, not the Super Bowl, which obviously that's the top one.
Right.
But Deshaun, the Miracle in the Meadowlands 3, so we thought we'd get that for everybody because this is a great Merrill Reese call. Here it is.
14 seconds to go. 31-31. Matt Dodge, the punt, gets a high snap, gets it away. It's a knuckler. Jackson takes it at the 35. Anderson picks it up, looks for running room. He's at the 40. He's at the 45. Midfield. He's at the 40. He's let it go. Deshaun Jackson. I don't care if he jumps, dives. He's running around, and he is in the end zone, and there's no time, and the Eagles win. The Eagles win.
This is Miracle in the Meadowlands number 2.
How about that? Gives you chills every time.
Yeah.
And Merrill, I've heard that call so many times. I'm waiting for Mike to come in with the yell. What commentary by Mike Quick?
Best part, yeah.
It is. So I remember that play going through it where he initially bobbled it was go down, go down. What is he doing? And then he recovers and there he goes. What a great play.
You know, I get nervous every time I watch it because as he gets to the one, he starts to pirouette and dance around, and you can see a giant has an angle on him.
Right.
And then he just slips across the goal line and scores. But Every time I watch it, I yell, get in!
Yeah. I mean, it was almost the biggest bonehead play ever. You know, if there was a hold back there somewhere, you know, like,
right.
You know, any, you know, if a guy, if, my God, could you imagine if he got tackled at the one?
Oh, we would have traded him that day.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
He wouldn't have lasted. But to the point of the people that say,
safety, yeah,
with Deshaun, you have stuff that comes with Deshaun. That's some of the stuff. He could be a little bit of a knucklehead out on the field, but...
Well, you remember him dropping one at the one-yard line in Dallas.
Yeah.
It would have been his first touchdown.
And here's another... Yeah, it was week 2-08. Here's another one. A lot of people don't talk about this one. 2011, dream team year. Eagles struggled out of the gate, struggled for good portions. They were 4-8. They rallied in the final 4 weeks of the season to get to 8-8. They ended up missing the playoffs, I believe, by one game. There was a game in there, I think it was the Cardinals home game, where Andy Reid, day of the game, deactivated Deshaun. He wasn't suspended, but something happened. I don't know what it was.
He was late.
He was late.
Well, then there you go. And Andy Reid said, I'm not playing him. I believe they missed the playoffs by one game. They lost that game, I think, by a point.
Yeah, because of that.
You know, so, like, I know it's real fun for everyone. I mean, believe me, John, I'm like you. I got the chills there, too. That is an incredible moment, not just in Eagles, but in all Philadelphia sports history. But there is a pro and there is a con aspect to the yes and no of Deshaun. And let's not kid ourselves and think it's just all the good
stuff. But the circumstance, that's not fair. The circumstance, and I'm not saying Deshaun was right for being late, but he was acting like a petulant child. Here's a guy you drafted, had made memorable plays for you, and you decide you're not going to pay him. Yet you bring in multiple other players from other teams and pay them, including a receiver from up the turnpike and Steve Smith, who you paid. He was upset. He's on a rookie deal as a second-round draft pick. He's already made memorable plays for you. He's one of your guys, yet you don't want to pay him. So he's acting now. And I don't agree with it.
Hurt the team.
Of course it did.
It's also a long time ago, Joe.
It is.
But here's what I'm also saying, Joe. They don't do business that way anymore. A guy like Deshaun, who would have done that for them at that time, they would pay by now. There was some reluctancy to pay Deshaun Jackson. They didn't want to pay him. And you remember how he wind up paying him the following year.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He wind up paying him.
He did. I guess part of my point also, though, and I hear you, part of my point is there's a
and
sense.
That was 8 years ago.
No, I get it.
It's 2019.
But what I'm getting at is there is a sense that Deshaun was cut purely because of what happened during the Chip era. And there's no question the Chip drove that. We all know that. But there were issues prior to Chip even arriving here, is my point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I think coming in now, later on in his career, he's coming in for a short period of time. Yeah. This franchise now with the Super Bowl is already established. He's not setting the culture for the team. There's already a culture.
I totally agree. And I'll say this. You should get, and who knows if you will, but I would hope you would. You really should get not only a motivated athlete, but a happy-to-be-here guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was a town that he turned on its head with some of his incredible plays. And this is a chance for him, you know, I don't know if he's thinking wind down the career, but obviously he knows it's not going on too much longer, and you get to really just hit this hard at the end in the town that loves you the most.
Yep. All right, so a lot of talk with free agency, wide receiver, running back, defensive end. Merrill, with Carson Wentz and the fact that he plays the game the way that he does and the backup quarterback being very important, as we learned with Nick Foles the last two years, there is some talk about maybe the Eagles going out on the market and pursuing one of the top quarterbacks in a Ryan Fitzpatrick, in a Teddy Bridgewater, or somebody like that.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. They like Nate Sudfeld a great deal, but he is unproven at this point. He'll get every chance to be the backup quarterback at training camp. But again, I think they bring in a veteran. I think they even pick up a quarterback late in the draft, maybe in free agency. I wouldn't have any problem if late in the draft, in the seventh round or sixth round, they drafted Trace McSorley, who could be a tough, but he's a guy who wins. He's not big, but if Matt McGloin could stay in the league for 6 years, Trace McSorley certainly could be productive.
I don't know what the hell Matt McGloin was in the league for 6 years for.
That's a miracle.
That is a miracle. I do like Trace McSorley a lot better.
But he's tough, yeah. And he's a leader.
Yeah, and he's certainly.
And he can run an offense.
And he's not Christian Hackenberg.
John Ritchie, would you roll the dice with
those last couple of Penn State quarterbacks, bro? I don't know, man.
With Nate Sudfeld, listen, Andy Reid had an A.J. Feely that he was able to – he knew what they did. He knew the system. He brought him in. They didn't spend a lot of money on a backup, which – Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you bring him in, he's going to make a nice piece of change.
Yeah, I think he'd be out of their reach, John, in terms of money.
A.J. Feely was the third-string quarterback. Everyone forgets that Coy Detmer was better than A.J. Feely.
But he wasn't making a lot of money either to that point.
Yeah, but you're right. A.J. Feely is forever beloved in this city, and those of us who watched him in practice, I mean, we know that he wasn't that great.
One of the games, if I can just say, was a 10-9 win at home in which Bobby Taylor intercepted
pick
a pass,
six.
Running in for a touchdown. Yeah. That was 7 of the 10 points.
But that's Ike. That's like the defense.
10-3, I believe.
Was that 10-3? Okay. Yeah.
I think
10-3.
That
right, 10-3.
He knows.
Nate Sudfeld is admired by this coaching staff for a reason.
Yeah.
And he's a big guy. He's got a nice gun of an arm.
Oh, man, he's in the Jesus Club,
understanding,
man.
Yeah. And understanding the offense goes a long way. He can step in and run this thing if need be. I don't think you spend for one of these big-name backup guys and you draft someone and see where that takes you. You might not have to keep – well, actually, you're right. With Carson, the way that he plays, you might end up
come on,
to
John.
Multiple – you know, a third quarterback.
A veteran guy.
No, that would be a draftee. So
Nate Sudfeld's your top backup. You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Joe DiCamera, do you spend legitimate backup money on one of the top guys out there? You roll with Sudfeld.
I will answer the question this way. I don't know on Sudfeld. I just don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to know.
None of us do.
What I will tell you is this. The Eagles must, because I'll say this every year for them, and it should apply to every organization, but it doesn't. The Eagles must have a top 10, if not top 5, backup quarterback. I am a... And it's the one thing I've said for a couple years now. If I'm the owner of the team, I'm not meddling in football operations except for one thing. I'm telling my coach and GM every year, you guys will have a top 5 or at the least top 10 quarterback backup, because I have seen, if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I have seen what happens in 05.
So that means you want to spend. So that means
my answer to the question is, I don't know. My answer to the question is this. If they don't believe that Nate Sudfeld is one of those top 5 or 10 guys, then I would spend. I can't tell you whether he is or isn't. I don't know.
Well, but how would they know if he's a top 5?
Because they should have a
better idea than us.
Yeah, they got a better idea than us. Sure,
a
they
top
do, John.
5 backups.
What the hell is a top 5 backup?
I'll tell you
exactly.
No,
is that number 37
yes.
or
I'll
less?
No, I'll tell you exactly what it is.
What is that?
When Devin got hurt in 06, there was a sense, hey, Jeff Garcia's had success. He can do it. When Michael Vick, I felt good on the early Nick Foles when and I didn't know he was going to be a top 5 backup. I knew he was going to be as good as he was. But hey, Nick Foles is worth having as your 2 in 2013, because I think this guy has shown us something in 2012 and 2013 in the preseason games. He looks like he's got something. Obviously, Foles is a backup to Wentz 2 years ago. It's an all-time example, and last year.
So
but I've also seen Mike
McMahon.
I've seen Brad
Terrible.
Gable. So I'm just telling you, if I'm Lurie, I know this history, and I'm telling my GM and my coach every year,
get the number
you will have a great backup.
Quarterback,
yeah, but Joe.
No, John, but you're acting like this is a joke. I'm saying part of building a great franchise is have a great backup quarterback.
Joe, I know what you're saying.
Well, no, you're making this 37th, you know.
I don't know what a top 5
what is the 38th quarterback.
Yeah, how
do
you
mean?
Differentiate?
But John, you know what he's saying. You go out and you get a guy on the market that's been a backup, maybe been a starter before. Maybe you're not getting Fitzpatrick at $7 million a year.
You don't know who the 37th best quarterback is because most of them haven't played, because they haven't been forced into action. Nate Sudfeld, they probably view him as that guy, the 37th best quarterback or whatever. But you don't know. Hey, Elliot.
Top
40.
Come on, Kev.
I was going to say, speaking of Nick Foles, Mike Silver saying that the Jaguars are cautiously optimistic that a deal will happen tonight, and the deal should be around $22 million per season. So there was a lot of talk about whether he was worth 25, 20 when he was with the Eagles. Looks like he'll land at around
That's 22. Good for Nick. Doug, keep in mind that Doug has never said Nate Sudfeld is our backup. Doug has carefully said...
Yep.
Nate Sudfeld will be given every opportunity to compete for the backup role. which tells you they will bring in somebody else. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be a great backup, but I think he's going to get starters' money or close to
it. He's
going to
get more than the Eagles maybe are budgeting for a backup, Merrill. I agree.
But there are people out there like Bridgewater who could be interesting.
Some of this could obviously come down to whether they give Wentz the big old contract now, because if they do, it's harder to have more money for the second stringer. If they don't, you got more money to spend.
All right, well, guys, thank you. Merrill, thank you. John and Joe, I guess thank you. I mean, we see you every day. We don't really.
Can I just say two things on the way out the door?
Sure.
The first is I look forward to future discussions with John Ritchie on defining the 37th best quarterback in football. That was fun.
Kind of.
The second I'd like to say, in all due respect to Mr. Marks, Reese, and Ritchie, all of whom I love, Mr. Merrill Reese, it is an honor to be at this table with you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And it's an honor to be here at McGurk's, a great place to be, and also to be here with all of the best fans in the NFL.
That's exactly right, Merrill. All right, we'll come back. We'll get all the latest from the IKEA free agency desk with Elliot Shore Parks. Also, Sheil Kapadia and Bo Wolf will join us for the next hour from The Athletic. And Angelo Cataldi joins us via phone line, Ike. Couldn't make it back over here. Could have made it back over here, but didn't make it back over here. He joins us coming up next. Live from McGurk's in Horsham, it's the Birds Town Hall. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.